And we're back. Welcome to Bold Movers and Shakers one more time. I'm thrilled. I'm also Alexis Ray, by the way. I am so thrilled to have Joe Gill with me today. The one and only.
Don't tell my dad that. Okay.
Raw and real. Okay.
He's a Joe too.
I can't wait to see that. So Joe, tell people what it is that you do and where hashtag Raw and Real resonates with you and who else.
Sure. Thanks for having me, by the way.
Sure, I'm delighted to make it.
So I'm Joe Gill out of Groton, Massachusetts. I'm a social media marketer. Started my own company called Valuenter. So I do social media marketing consulting, content marketing consulting. You probably see me on LinkedIn because I'm on video a lot more than I used to be. So I got on there back in January. So
that term, you just kind of glossed through that. What's say it again?
Value. All right, so Valuenter. So it's a play off the word influencer and value, okay? Because I think being on LinkedIn as much as I have been since January, like 18, really into it, I just saw so many people merging with video. Like people like, I'm an expert, I'm a guru, I'm this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, and there was one guy, his name is Quentin Alums. You may know who he is. He's out of Milwaukee. And he's just a real down-earth, righteous, very, you know, humble dude that started, you know, went through bad times and gone to good. And he's really real. And I'm like, dude, why are people telling me what's your influence on people and all that? Because influence could be bad, right? We know history. Influence could be really bad.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm like, why don't people just lead with value while providing value and helping people? And then if they have if they have a following after, that's a byproduct. Then you have your influence. Why lead with the influence? You know, and there's been so many companies that have been caught with the influencer marketing when they get the fraudulent followers and they're paying them all this money. And, you know, so that's how I came up with the word. People were telling me, Alexis, that I needed to copyright the word. This was summer last year. Like, you got to do it. And this is why I was going through bad stuff at work. And I'm like, at 4th of July morning, Independence Day, ironically enough, right?
Oddly enough.
So I ended up looking into it. Like, two things came to me. One thing was a post by Lilac Bullock out of England, I believe. She put up a post, you know, don't wait for opportunity, make it. All right, so that hit me. And Tima, she's down in Australia. I can't say her last name correctly. She pinged me. She's like, Joe, you have to copyright that word. You have to do it. And I did it. And now I, you know, that's the name of my business now. So.
Okay, Valuenter. Did I say that? Okay.
Yeah, you did. Good job.
Right on.
I wrote an article about it, explained it on my LinkedIn profile. Yeah. And then if you connect with me on LinkedIn, that's actually part of my welcome message. So you know, yes. I'm not talking like a crazy person.
Yes. So how is it that that's actually applied in, let's say I was a client of yours. Mm-hmm. Tell me what that would look like. Like you do the raw and real thing too. So we probably should marry those two. Cause
Sure. So, you know, storytelling, I know, is kind of a very, chic word now, even though it's been around since the cavemen were drawing on walls.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everybody's like, well, give me storytelling. No, you have been since you've been alive. So, it's, you know, so usually when I go in, I work with a lot of different industries. I usually go in and just see what they're doing, right? Kind of what they're doing, you know, great, and try to dovetail off that and things they need to work on, right? So, and not talk about themselves all the time. It's about, there's an 80-20 rule, right? You probably know it too, being in marketing. You know, 80% of the time you would talk about value-add content that's going to help your customer.
Yeah.
And then 20% you talk about yourself.
Okay. Right? So with that in mind, how do you tell a story that fits that 80-20? Because stories, immediately my mind goes to, well, let me tell you a story, you know, about us. And it becomes something about, you know, personal, about me. So mm-hmm. telling us a company story, a brand story?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big things is that people need to humanize their brand and just show like the people that work for the company, right?
Yes.
Like the people in the trenches, the people that you should respect the most, because they're like, I used to be in customer service. One time I worked for a company, which they just started selling this phone services way back in the day. But I took like 110 phone calls one day. And, you know, but this is the thing, Alex, this is your line of defense. This is the people that they're calling to complain about, that this, that, and you're the one, you could win that battle for them. You could make them become a fan rather than become, you know, a detractor, right?
Yes.
So that's the way you tell the stories, right? You tell the stories about your customers, put it on them. You have the biggest You know Mad Men, right? Focus groups, how they had, you know, the women or the men in a room, they give the product and they write all down the notes.
Yeah.
We have the biggest focus group at our hands. It's infinite, right? This is why it blows my mind that more people don't leverage their audiences to see where they should take their company. I've read a book called Growth Hacking, and they talked about that, how they would just, you know, put the product out and see what people thought.
Split test. Adjust.
Try it, fix it, try it.
Yep.
So that's kind of the way I want people to tell a story. It's like, how are you helping others? And it's not saying, well, you got to buy my stuff. I don't, you know, that's great. I want to work with you because I like you, respect you, and trust you. That's how it should be. That's what you need to establish. And that's why I tell people, when social media, they think it's a magic bullet or pixie dust or, you know, voodoo. It's not. It's about, I call it like being a farmer. I know I'm talking a lot. I can already tell.
No, you're fine. Bring it.
And like being a farmer, right? So this is one of my raw reels. It's like, you're going to plant that seed, right? The idea, the solution. You're going to nurture that relationship. And then in time, you'll harvest that crop, right? You bring it to the farmer's market, sell it. It's not fast food. You're not going in and getting crappy fries and a burger. You feel good, then you go home, you feel horrible. So does it really help you in the long run? No.
Right.
That's how I can compare it, you know?
I like it. So you're giving a multifaceted view of what a company's about.
Right.
Story. Okay.
You know, absolutely. I mean, in the past lives, I kind of, you know, talked about how we should promote the company. Why you should work here. I've had enough jobs, so now I know why you should work at certain companies and shouldn't, because you spend more time at a job than you do with your family. You know, and that's the employer brand is very, very important as well as your personal brand or the company brand. You know, it's about brand building that's transparent, right, and real and genuine. There's no, you know, smoke and mirrors or guy behind the curtain, you know.
The Wizard of Oz. So when you mentioned that word personal branding, that's a pretty big buzzword at the moment.
Buzzword too,
How do you define that for somebody or a company?
Well, just kind of like I said, it's kind of just be yourself, you know. Don't hide behind masks and, you know, corporate walls and ivory towers. That's my whole thing. It's just like, I have it on my profile as well. It's like, I'm a blue collar guy in a white collar world. My dad was a construction worker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he always put me in the yard to dig fence posts and help put in engines. And I sucked at it, but I did respect the work ethic. Right.
Yeah.
And regardless of any job I've ever been at, it's always like, they hired you. You owe them at the least to put in a good 40 to 45 hour, 50 hour effort. Do you know what I mean? That's just how I am. I don't know why, but, just being a regular person. I mean, now that you have a screen in front of you, why should you be different? You shouldn't be different unless you're an actor or an actress in Hollywood. That's your job, to be different than other people.
And when you say, are you referring to the figurehead of the company? Are you referring to just
everybody?
Everybody. And the reason I asked that, Joe, is because, and we didn't talk about this yet, is that I've worked as an executive third, you know, like a neutral third party sounding board. The other word is confidant.
Right.
And that's not a bad word.
Like, I know it's not.
It's just people are like, you say what? It's like, come on now. I'm not in stripper heels and a short skirt, you know? Like,
right. I know. Friend. I'm a friend. Hello.
Right. And it matters that person that's heading everything up. Cause I did, let me just do a sidebar real quick. The story or statistics or whatever go, the reason people bond at work, you know what the reason is? Problems.
It's very true.
They bond over problems.
Yeah, they rally. Yeah, absolutely. Yep,
exactly. Now their manager doesn't have that privilege. He can't just plunk down and bitch about work. And then you take it up another level. His manager sure as hell can't do that. He can't do it with managers. Mm-hmm. And then you take it up another level, and you've got the guy sitting behind the desk with the dream who feels like a prisoner of his own creation because he can't say anything to anybody because they're all looking at either, you know, jump him or kiss his butt as yes men. Oh, sure. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, definitely not a yes man. That's for sure.
And so then what happens is the symptoms of isolation and loneliness. And that actually skews judgment. It makes a person paranoid. It affects their health. Like, you know, shortened lifespan. Like, it's serious. And then, you know, I'm listening to you and it's like, you know, man, just come on in and be real. It's like,
well, it's the same thing.
Can I be? You know, can I be? And like, that's why I did.
Well, you, I mean, you're rocking the Nirvana shirt, I'm rocking the Zeppelin shirt. It's about musicians, like, or actors like Robin Williams. Yeah. He was like the most, one of the most popular actors, very beloved. He was very lonely.
Yeah.
Super lonely, right? And like, yeah. Musicians, same way. I think Chris Cornell, the same thing with Soundgarden. He was the same way. You could be the most famous person or have the most money, but you may be very super unhappy, right? So to me, I have so many, I think it takes more to ask for help than not. I think you're braver to ask for it. It doesn't show you're weak.
It's not a sign of weakness. I agree.
No, no. In the corporate world, personal life, whatever. Just ask for help. And I bet both spheres, right? Personal and professional. I talk to friends. I used to be the kid that never talked. And it was always things kept in. And that was just basically poison, right? To the soil, right? To the soul, not the soil. To the soul. But now I'm the guy who doesn't. I have social anxiety, believe it or not. That I can't, I have a hard time talking to people I don't know, but I am getting out of my comfort zone and growing and have my first speaking engagement. So
what?
Yeah, I linked a local boss and I was on a panel talking about rebranding.
Oh, that's right. I saw your picture on the poster.
Thank you. Yes.
That was a bold move for you then, if you were
formerly. That was kind of one of the questions you have is bold move. That was super bold move. So I ended up, I know we're kind of going around, but...
No, don't matter. Let's roll.
So linked to local Boston after I got involved in the community. Like I said, my old sports marketing events I have is kind of very similar to, so I want to get involved in this event. So Mark Metry, who you may follow, got me contacted. Her name is Omama, a really awesome gal that I work with. But I want to get involved with this so I can get, because I'm really bad at networking events.
Okay.
Like I would be the one that would walk in, say hi to the one or two people I know, and just stay with them.
Yep.
And not branch out. Or if I knew nobody, I'd get a beer and be in the corner. You same thing?
One back against the wall. My back against the wall, 1 foot out the door, man. Just
wallflower. Yep.
I'm ready. I got to go. I'm not in the middle of this at all. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah. But so
I found ways to get around that. You can learn.
Yeah. But, you know, being a host, you're the host. People are going to come talk to you because you're the host. You have to be there. And being up in a panel, you have to be there too. So that really helped me because I know even though in my mid-40s, that's something I have to like get over, try to get out of eventually. So I know I really kind of see my weaknesses. I really try to make them into strengths. You know what I mean? So,
you know something, I'm glad you brought it up that way. First of all, bravo. I mean, to go from really from feeling like, you know, social anxiety, that's a real thing. Feeling alone in a crowd sucks. Been there, done that. I was in a field full of 400 happy people and I was like in the corner reading my book and
right.
I mean, what am I gonna do, bust in on their group and go, hey, you know, like, it's so awkward, what do? You know, it's really, really unnerving. I'll just stay home, thanks. You know, it's awful.
But you know what's great though is that I think the LinkedIn platform, I call it like a digital icebreaker, right? Because you get to know someone through their content before you meet them. So you're not going in there cold turkey, right? Which I find is very hard for me to do. Like, if I don't know anything about you, I'm not going to be like, oh, how the Red Sox doing? Like, I just, do you know what I mean? I just can't, like, but if I go in and say, hey, well, you know, Alexis, I saw that post you did, or I saw that podcast you did with so-and-so, I'm, you know, then we already have something to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've actually helped an introvert come out of his shell and some other people, and they need to just as much as everybody else, whether they're, you know, nerdy, IT, whatever, I don't care. And they have to go out and rep a company. And so it forced me to think of some clever ways. And so I looked at what I was doing, and I said, okay, all right, here's what you do. You find somebody else who's kind of like you. They're at the back of the room. And you don't walk up to them and do this, you know, name badge, hey, I'm from State Farm.
I know. No business card.
I come up to the side of them and you go, and you kind of look at them, you kind of look around, you go, so aside from coming for the free food, what brought you here? And
You stay at the food table. Everybody tells me that, or near the beer or whatever.
Yeah. Or, you know, standing at the bank, you know, aside from hanging out in long lines, what's fun for you?
And yeah, that's a good line. There you go.
Yeah. And I'm full of it. And it just breaks down. It breaks down the walls, and then instantly you've got somebody talking about themselves, and then it just works right from there. And then when you do the follow-up, you can refer to that conversation, and it wasn't about State Farm's latest whatever. I don't mean to pick on State Farm, y'all. So
But you got to have that dam break, and when it breaks, then everything's good.
And that's the way you do it. I remember sidling up to a woman, and I said, I'm, you know, how long have you been in Knoxville? Whatever. not long, and I'm looking for places to volunteer. Oh, I could tell it. Great. And it just starts into personal right there. That's how you do it. You know, and then, yeah, I mean, it's the only way to build rapport.
Well, I mean, it's what's awesome about technology. The good things about technology, we all know about the bad things, is that you are able to connect with so many people across the world now that you ever could before.
Yes.
And now people get to see who you are through your content and all that stuff. And people just generally want to help you or help you get ahead or do things for you or vice versa, right?
Yeah.
I kind of do a thing on Friday called like Value Enters Unite, not stealing anything from the Avengers or anything, but like, tell me what you accomplished this week. What value did you bring this week? How did people bring value back to you? And I, you know, I was talking with one of my former coworkers. He brought, you know, brought his social media lead to me. And then, you know, all the people from LinkedIn Local saw that movement, brought value to so many people. And I brought value to my client because I put a social media calendar together and they never had it. You know, stuff like that. I just think we need to celebrate everybody, our, you know, victories and achievements together rather than just stepping on people and making them feel worse. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to get all, you know, it's just the way the world is right now. It just seems like people just love chaos and just love to put people down rather than, I had a good conversation with someone on this platform talking about people concentrating more on the problem than trying to fix it. And that's the problem. I just find that mind blowing. Let's work it out. Let's talk it out and get it done. Let's not beat the problem to death. You know, let's help me think on that.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought it up because I've been doing some studies on narcissism.
Oh, really?
Because there's a lot of them.
Do tell. Yeah. I've known some people like that in my life.
Yeah. There's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And beware the charm. Beware the charm. You know, because it's there. But I want to give a little background on it. And what I've studied lately is that I feel bad for him, poor bub. They are actually infants who were deprived of emotional caregiving.
Right.
Yeah, so they have this, their brain doesn't develop properly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's no fixing this. It can be treated. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what that looks like yet. I mean, there's no fixing it.
Right.
So there's two main qualities to look out for. First one is the charm. And the reason that that's been developed as an infant is because they're in an environment they're subjected to their, you know, they've got to survive. And so whatever can be done to get through this, the charm, you know, turn on the charm. There's a big difference between being charming and being charismatic. Sure. So yeah, because charm is for the scenario and charismatic is just who you are. You can come in the upper room. And the other part is the, they avoid connection. So they're going to push people away because the message they got is that it's dangerous to be connected to somebody. And,
right.
And there's some jacked up things that are happening in their brain and maybe it can be fixed with super cold showers. I don't know. That thing's like really, I mean, that's like changing people's lives. You know,
oh yeah, for sure.
Cold shower thing. So what we have then is the narcissist can never accept that there might have anything to do with any kind of issue. They will divert, redirect, whatever they can do so that they stay in a state of perfection and flawlessness because it, somewhere in there in deep-seated stuff is a real fear. And it's not going to be fixed. All a person can do is recognize it, go, okay, and back the fuck away. Go, bye. And it's true.
Rather than deal with it head on, they'd rather disappoint
the
person.
You can't. It is like trying, if you look at it, like it's really kind of like a mental illness. That's how I'm putting it. Because in other categories, if someone had a lack of empathy, they'd be labeled, not psycho.
Sociopath, no.
Thank you. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because they lack.
Maybe with a big word.
Yeah, $10 word, $5 crowd.
Right.
And they would literally be, you know, like have additional criminal charges on them because you lack a human factor that we all have. Yeah. Well, narcissists do too, because they can't do it. It was something that happened a long time ago. They really never developed something. They don't even know it. But but so I have developed, like, have you ever seen a kiwi fruit? Sure you have. You know those little tiny hairs on them?
Yeah.
That's how fine my freaking radar is for it. And there's yeah, and that's
Spider-Man. There you go. Yeah.
You've got to have that up because otherwise it lets them get in and they're going to just run right over you.
Yeah.
And so those people that you're talking about, I mean, you know, they'll kick you when you're down. That way they can step on your back. It's a higher step. They have zero compassion, empathy, apathy, nothing. They're apathetic as hell. And it will always be that way. But so you have to.
I agree. Yes, I agree. The people I talk to, and I'm not going to say who exactly, but sometimes they finally got, you know, they finally see the light. Some of them finally see the light and know that they've done wrong for so many years or what have you. And that just happened to me personally. And I'm happy that person did that. Now we can continue on down the line here. So yeah, many years left he has in his life, you know, so.
Just don't forget that you're still dealing with.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh,
you know what I mean? Because, oh, no, no. So what happens, Joe, is that you know, the other spectrum is they draw in the people pleasers and the approval seekers. And
oh, yeah.
And, you know, I know what it looks like because I'm in the group, or was. Like, how else are you going to know? You have to be it to see it. So it's natural for them to want to just bend over backwards. Hang on, Mr. Narcissist. I'm sure I can, you know, do that backward flip, you know, fast enough through a ring of fire. And maybe right. I'll, you know, be awarded something like affection. So everybody's trying to do something to fill a hole that they have.
Yes. Yep.
And only if, you know, by being aware that there's a freaking hole, accepting that there's a hole and then taking action on the hole, can we get change, you know? So I do have hope for it. It's for just sure. Still looking at the core of that person and realizing that that's still a scorpion. Okay.
Well, I mean, now with like I said, with technology, people just getting into like comparing themselves and, you know, thinking they have to be like everybody else and just, you know, always comparing, because now you know what everybody else does. That's a terrible part of social media too, is that that's the thing, like Instagram, the Instagram models and all that stuff. Oh, I gotta look like him or her. I gotta be cut. No, you don't. Be yourself. I mean, that's just crazy seeing people with kids and all the stuff going on with them too, even in younger ages too, that going through stuff with the bullying, you know, and all that. It's just insane.
The bullying part, I don't even want to start that conversation. It's sad to me.
Yeah, I know, me too.
You know, the blessing of being able to try on stuff like, oh, I need to look like this, is that later you realize you don't. And that's just what life is. I happen to have a theory that the degree of darkness and despair, like the ball of, it has an equivalent light on the other side. Like, this is pure physics. This is science.
Right.
I love it. When spirit and science meet, woo, we're good. And if you just realize, like, as jacked up it is, as it is right now, whoever it is, the opposite and equivalent is waiting for you. If you just realize that
let it happen, embrace it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
I completely agree. Yeah, I completely agree. So
it's not a life sentence. It's
so
not.
You know, just be yourself. I mean, I think be yourself and personally, professionally, be the same person. You shouldn't have to change. I think if you're in a situation at a company and you have to be someone else, like I was told at one of my past jobs that I went from the rah-rah guy, let's go out and get you out of your desk, let's go to lunch, grab a coffee, to dude that put his headphones on and just try to get through every day. And I knew when I was that guy, that was not me.
You're being attacked.
Yeah, you know, and then we talked about it, but yeah, it was just.
If you're in an environment like that, you've got
to. Yeah, it's a toxic environment. You need to get out of it. I did, like I said, now going on my own, much happier. I'm not making the money I used to be making, but guess what? Money is not everything.
Nope.
You know, definitely not. Nope. But, you know, like I said, it was a good experience. I mean, I met a lot of great people, and looking in a good light, I learned a lot. Learned a lot just from a professional standpoint, from application work standpoint, that I did very well. I killed it again, and I did what I had to do, and then learned what red flags there are and get out of that situation, you know, so.
Well, yeah.
Keep evolving, Alexis, you know.
That's good, because I want to comment to that, because we are always evolving. Every single day we're different from the day before. So that's on a micro scale. But, you know, a lot of people, Joe, they're like, scared. I'm scared to change, or I'm scared to come out, or I'm scared. You know, you've been changing your whole life. You had to change to be who you are right now. So you can make another little adjustment and, hey, that's change. And you've been doing it all along, Bunky. There's nothing to be afraid of, you know.
I guess so. This sounds stupid, but middle school, okay?
Yeah.
Really like this girl. I wasn't a popular kid in school at all, okay? Nerd, got, you know, bullied and stuff, bad things. But I remember a girl, kind of, you know, semi-popular girl. I asked her out, and she's like, Oh, yeah. Well, not, unless you, I only go out with you unless you change. And I'm like, nope, see you later. Peace out. Like, even in junior high back in the 80s and 90s,
yeah,
change. Even then, I'm like, no, if you don't, I have a multiple people in my life tell me too. At the beginning, Joe, I could not stand you. But now I know over time that you have the biggest heart, and I'm so happy that we're friends. And not, you know, it is true, because I'm a loud guy if I know you and stuff like this. I like to have fun and be the clown and yada, yada, yada. But I kind of like, I'll be for you, I'll be there for you if you need something. Don't worry about me. I'm there for you at all times. You know, that's just how I am as a person, because I surrounded myself with great people and made my life great. And that's the way I, you know, we should be for each other. I don't mean to get all rah-rah shish-kumbah, but I mean,
hey, you're welcome to.
It just needs to be more of that. I try to instill, I have a 6-year-old son, almost 6, and I try to instill those values in him now. You know, he even got, believe it or not, I have to tell a quick story, but
go.
Kids making fun of kids in school, not good. You don't do it. I don't condone it at all, but to the point where they use the word bullying, and I'm like, well, when I got bullied, that was like very minute compared to what I went through. But I told him, I go, your daddy was that kid that you made fun of, okay? That your daddy was the kid that you made feel, you know, uncomfortable, not happy. So I want you to know that is not, because that was the first time I felt disappointed in my kid ever. And it's only been 6 years, but you get mad and angry and get upset, but you don't get disappointed. And you know, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. You know, it's the worst thing ever here.
It's the worst thing to have.
Yeah, and you know, and I just try to teach him. I go, I want you to write that boy an apology note, and I want you to bring it in and give it to him and see where it goes. And then that day, he comes home from school. My wife's like, tell your daddy what happened to him. I'm thinking, all right, you got the note, everything's good. Oh, I got sent to the principal's office again. I go, what are you talking about?
Uh-oh.
He goes, oh, because they played a video and he was talking and he stuttered and I laughed again. And they sent to the principal's office. So he had to write another note. And I'm like, all right, hopefully you learned your lesson, dude. I hope you learned your lesson. But it's just, you know, we're hypersensitive now. I'm all, like, again, not condoning what he did. But to call it what they did, it's kind of like, you have to check it out.
Oh my God, it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, and even the people even said to me, like, I know this is kind of a, you know, we don't think it's this, but people say it, and then, but again, it doesn't matter if it's making fun of somebody at 5, 6. I'm like, I couldn't believe this goes on in kindergarten. Are you kidding me? I was still taking naps and playing in the water table and playing in the sand. I wasn't worried about making fun of kids and whatever.
Right. Right.
But we got to teach the kids early. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. Teach them early. That stuff's not good. You don't do that. Okay.
Yeah.
My wife's Filipino, right? So he's biracial. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's where people tend to make fun of people too, because they don't look like everybody else. So I go, you got to learn not to be that person that's going to be a bad influence on people. I don't want that at all. Be that value answer. Bring that value.
Yeah. And the hardest part, Joe, is that he's not gonna fit in with the kid that's being made fun of, and if he doesn't go along with the kids that are making fun,
I know it's tough. Yep.
Where does he fit?
It's right with the wrong pack. I know, and that's crazy that that's happening now. And then it's just the technology that everybody's on their iPhones or their iPads, and they're not talking to each other. And I'm a big pro, as we talked about. I love the social media and the technology part of it.
Yeah.
But the good parts of it, because that's all bad. Like, that's personally, my son's not getting a phone until, I don't know how old he's going to be, 14, 15. See how long that goes.
And you heard it here first, guys.
You'll I know, right? Write that down. And you'll like this one. Right? This is another good story.
Yeah, go for it.
We're going to Vermont, 3-hour ride from here, 3.5-hour ride. And my wife's friend says to her, what's your son going to do for 3.5 hours if he doesn't have an iPad, iPhone or anything? She's like, read a book, color, look out the window like we did. Like, I mean, what are we
doing? Wow.
Is that crazy? That's absolutely blows my mind. What are we going to do? Use your imagination.
Man, that's shocking to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to sound like I'm judging it at all, but like, is that really the limitation of offers that you have or ideas that you have for your kid?
I see a lot of it, you know, and, you know, my wife yells at me once in a while, put the phone down, and I'm like, but it's just like going to restaurants, seeing people like this and not even talking to each other. It's like, holy shit. I went to a bar with my buddy and seen a band, and I saw all, you know, the teenage, I mean, no, early 20s, evidently, if they're at the bar, hopefully, women just texting each other and not even looking at each other. And they're all at the bar. I'm like, why are you even here together? it just, it blows my mind.
I don't know. There's actually a class in eye contact at West Point Academy because, I mean, it's really that bad. So hopefully, you know, the pendulum can swing and then we can go, hey, hang on. That was way too far. Let's come back to here.
Right, right. I mean, like,
you know,
if they do something good, reward them with that time to play. You go on the, you know, go on that or something like that. Don't just, it's not a babysitter. I mean, it's just not. That's just, and I'm not, people parent their own way, have their own situations, and I'm not trying to be holier than thou. But my personal opinion is just like, if you just throw them technology just because you don't want to deal with it, that's not making anybody better.
Yeah. And if that's what, and that's the root of least resistance, and that is a, you know, for harried parents or, you know, whatever, that's the easiest thing to do is let it be the babysitter, root of least resistance. And if they're going to do that, I'm just making this up right now, Joe. What if there was just sort of a debriefing at the end of the day and just like, what did you see on social media today that you liked?
That'd be amazing. Yeah, that'd be good.
And what bothered you? I think that needs to happen.
Absolutely. Like they had that Momo something or another, that suicide thing going around. Did you hear about that? I don't know what it was, but
no.
Yeah, it was I heard kind of hearsay, but my friend's daughter said that to a woman, said her friend was crying about all this because of some stupid thing. I think that was the name of it. I gotta look it up. It's called some doll or something, some weird video. But you know, and I'm just like, how is this stuff going wrong? Why are kids at 8, 9 years old seeing this stuff is beyond me.
Yeah.
You know, the video games and TV and everything else aren't great either. So I'm gonna, you know, I can't put it all on the social, but it's just like, let's look at the good stuff, like the stuff we're doing, like the stuff that going on LinkedIn trying to help somebody, you know, make their career better or helping them with personal branding or just like helping them out of a bad time. Like I had one guy tell me after I did my video about being bullied as a kid, he's like, dude, that helped me out so much. And I appreciate it. That's my story too. And I'm so happy you talked. And I had a couple of people said, you should take that talk and go to schools about it. And I'm like,
Yeah.
Instead of you're like, oh, whatever. And they're like, no, you really should, you know?
Yeah.
I used to get tied up in the woods. I used to, like, my kids, I used to get wrapped in electrical tape, left in the middle of a street. True story. One of my younger neighbors, I'm like, get me scissors. I cut myself out of scissors. You know, got beat up in homeroom. Like, this is stuff that's bullying them. That's bullying them.
My God, that's horrible.
Oh, yeah, bad stuff, you know. And
how did you not grow up and just end up in prison out of anger?
I know, right? But you know what I learned, Alexis, is like all that shit that happened to me then got me ready for all the shit that's going to happen to me later.
I love that. You want to look for
you know, that. It's good, you know, losing jobs, you know, cancer, all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, my buddy, you know, I did a video on this, but my buddy, when I was like at 16, 17 years old, saying, I hate life and I don't want to do it anymore, if you know what I mean. And he's like, I'll spit in your grave, kid. I'll do it. And that woke me up like, whoa. That's my best friend since I was like born. And he told me that. So I was like, that's not the way to go. It's not the way to go. So I, you know, I turned it around and I just made friends in other towns and made friends at work. Even though I had 100 different jobs, I had friends from every job. So I kind of, you know, the good part of that is, you know, if you get laid off and stuff like that, it's, look at the people you met at those jobs that you're still friends with. I have like friends with bosses I've still had and all this stuff. So those are the good things. Look at that. There's a good side to everything, right?
Well, there is if you look for it.
Yeah. No? It's like you said, you got the dark orb and then you got the light one behind it. So
it's waiting. It's waiting for recognition. And usually that takes action. And so I'm really fascinated, Joe, that you were able to go from, I mean, that shit, that's messed up what they did.
It is messed up stuff. My dad almost knocked out a few parents because of that. You know,
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine how helpless and mad and how you not grow into just this vindictive
person. Yeah, I mean, but you know what? Bringing back negative energy after getting negative energy, what's it going to help anybody?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, clearly, did you play sports?
Not well. I played, you want to hear it? I get a story for everything. I never played football, right? So, in Pop Warner, so I came out freshman football, brought my gear on. And this is bullying in a way, too, if you think about it. Put my gear on. The gear's all screwed up. I didn't have it on right. The coaches take me over to varsity and said, he's ready. And they all laughed at me and all that. And I quit 2 days later.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
So that tells you that's bullying too by an adult to a kid, right?
Yeah.
So like, I played street hockey with my buddies and stuff, got multiple injuries from that, believe it or not. But yeah, so I mean, I love sports, a big hockey, football fan, stuff like that. And really, those stories I see, my team's winning or just how they get together and persevere and, yeah, you know, beat the odds. It's just something I truly love. I love the sports.
Yeah.
You know,
right on.
You know what I mean? So
did you have support at home when you came home from being?
Oh yeah. My mom and dad, I came back, unbelievable. My mother's, man, I think you had a note here. Heroes. It's my mom and my wife. I mean,
what? That's awesome.
No doubt about it. Oh yeah. My mother went through so much. My mother to this day, you know, I'm in my mid-40s. She's in her 70s now. It's like always. We always thought we were younger. She's the one that was always, you know, up, you know, on us and all this stuff. But she put us through college. Okay, she never went to college. My extended huge family. I was the first one in my extended family to go to college. Both my sisters went to Boston University, right?
Wow.
So that's a success there alone, right?
Yeah, it is.
To push us through school, you know, my parents got divorced, messy divorce, not good, but she fought through that. She's been a good guy now she's with, and she's just phenomenal mother, phenomenal grandmother. Can't say enough. And then my wife is the one who equals me out, okay? I'm the loud, boisterous one. She's more the quiet one. She's the one who does the bills. She got the money, you know, trying to figure out the money and all that stuff. And she grounds me, and I ground her too. Like, have some fun. I'm that guy. Have a little more fun. And she's like, well, you got to take these a little more seriously. So we kind of, you know, even each other out. So, yeah, those two are the people are heroes to me for sure. I mean, like I said, she came from the Philippines. You know, no friend. Had one friend over here, the girl she came over with. You know, sent money back home to her family so they could put her sisters through school. And that stuff blows your mind because being here in the States –
yeah,
we don't think that way, right? We just see, like, you're out at 18, see you later. You're not sending money back to your parents.
No, completely different.
Yeah, so it's, you know, like, I got good people in my life, right? And the people that aren't in it anymore.
that in itself is a bold move, because if a person feels desperate inside, often somebody who's been abused, and especially those who've been sexually abused, they're desperate for love at any price.
Right, right.
And are willing to be, you know, rode over and backed up on, and then it was even denied. I didn't do that to you. You did. No, didn't. And then they just, you know, fuck. Might as well just, I don't know.
Yeah, it just goes in a spiral. It's like insanity. It goes over and over again, right?
Yeah. So we were just talking about this last night. Sean Douglas is a speaker, and he's also military. He's real military. Yeah, Sean is military, like,
he's the best. Those are heroes too. Every day.
Like, yeah. And he's boot camp boy. And the show that we did, I call how Sean Douglas turned a chip into a diamond. Because he had a hell of a chip on his shoulders and, you know, getting beat up and shit by his stepdad. And I mean, just a lot of angry. And he's been able to transmute that into something else.
Right.
What we were talking about is he's like, why are there so many people pleasers? They won't take any action. And then, so I brought up the fact that they usually attract a narcissist who gets to be right about everything. And people pleaser goes, okay, yeah, will you love me if I say yes? You know, so there's this, you know, real codependent, weird, toxic dynamic that has to be broken. But what you have to do, not you, Joe, but what has to be done is often these guys, the people pleaser, for instance, has never seen what a supportive person looks like.
Yeah.
The victim of abuse, they're survivors of something. Mm-hmm. And it's normal, you know, pain is their normal. And so they don't even know what else there is. And beliefs can make us blind. You know, if you believe that ketchup bottle is supposed to be purple and it's pink, the next time you go to buy it, you won't even see it. Yeah, I mean, beliefs can make us blind.
Well, I mean, I think my social anxiety stemmed from all the bullying when I was a kid because I just did trust people.
God, how could you? Yeah.
You know, I tried, like I said, I'm trying to get out of that even though this age, you know. But like I said, as we all said, it's like you take silver linings in every dark cloud. You just got to find them, right? You just got to find them. And I think that's what I've tried to do. Yeah. I try to find them.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of storm clouds coming. And, you know, you just got to keep rowing. You got to keep rowing through the storm, right?
Yeah.
Coming.
I like the expression that says, it's not just, you can choose to weather the storm or dance in the rain. And, yep. You know, I like to dance. So
yeah, yeah.
That I like was to my outlet. Well, you know. But yeah, it is really, though, realizing that it doesn't always have to be this way. And it's hard for somebody who's been broken inside. Mm-hmm. You're very fortunate that you had some support when you came home.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, like, you know, and I dealt with a lot of physical stuff, injuries and illnesses and cancer and everything else. And so, again, I say this too, it's like, you know, the soul is greater than the body. You just got to keep going because, you know.
So, Joe, a lot of people say, oh, cancer was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I don't know their story, and that's personal. It's, you know, subjective.
Yeah.
How was this for you? How I mean.
Scared shitless. It makes you realize you are extremely, life is extremely fragile, not to sound cliche, but it does. You know, at that point, I had a 2-year-old son. I had a tumor in the neck the size of a friggin' golf ball. But, you know, and what was, and the people at my work, you know, we did with that, you know, I dealt with that, Alexis, I dealt with it with laughter and humor. Like we named it, we named the tumor, I think his name is Ed, and all this stuff, we laughed about it, you know.
His name is Mr. Ed.
Yeah, like, it was like something from Family Guy, I guess there was a skin on his neck. So that, yes, that was the way I dealt with stuff, because that's the only way I could, is like laughing at it and just... Because if you just dwell on it, you're screwed. I mean, I was in my boss's office crying. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, because I couldn't sit down because it was pressing on my neck. I couldn't stand. It was a nightmare, right? So,
oh man,
yeah, it was terrible. And one of my buddies, who, great guy, you could tell when good people come to the forefront in bad situations, because like I just needed one of those, you know, the desk you stand up just to work.
Yes.
I didn't have one, but I couldn't wait like 2 weeks to get one. And, you know, when they order it, and he gave me his like right away. He's like, aww. I kind of knew him. And, you know, we've been friends since we worked together. He's moved to Texas since then. And then back in like 3 months ago, it was me and another woman I worked with. She ended up getting breast cancer. And he ran for us in his race down in Texas for us. He wrote it down on the board.
Oh, how touching is that?
Yeah, good cat. He's a good guy.
Wow.
Tony Pataki. I'll drop his name. Good cat.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Tony.
Yeah. Yeah. That stuff is just like, wow. You know, you impact people, and you know, people impact you, and that's what it's all about. That's your brand, right? Be impactful. Period. You know.
Yeah.
But what I learned from it, like I said, is that. I wasn't going to let that thing beat me. I look back, you know, like, you probably see that app Time Hop, where they go back in your old social media posts. And I looked back at them, and it said, you know, I was right. This is not going to beat me. I'm not going to give into this. I saw a quote, you know, I had cancer, but cancer never had me.
Like that.
You know, and even my friend told me that my friend's wife had breast cancer, and I haven't, you know, you move away, you fall out of touch, whatever.
Sure.
And he told me, he's like, our friend's wife said to him, he's like, you know, Joe Kill was reaching out to me all the time. Hope, you know, if I want to talk or anything, and some of the closest people in my life right now didn't reach out to me at all.
That's devastating.
Blows my mind. Yeah. It happened to me. Some people, my friends and some people in my family too, didn't reach out to me. You're like, what, you know, what?
What do you do with that afterwards? You know, what do you do with that afterwards? It's like, oh, hang on. I was there.
I didn't know, or this, or, you know, I didn't know what to say. You know what? Say anything. You know?
Yeah, man.
But, you know, there were other people there, like that guy Tony told you, they were texting me when I got out of surgery, and they were, you know, those are the people that you like up here with, you know what I mean?
Oh, see? So, yeah, right on.
Yeah,
right on.
Yeah. So, but... It, like I said, it made me appreciate it. I don't complain as much about stuff. I'm less, you know, anxious about stuff. I try to think more, you know, have more patience and everything, because, like I said, thyroid, well, that's the best cancer to have. And no, none, but it's all contained. But stage 3 period is not good, okay? My surgeon said, he was a Mass General, one of the best surgeons, people flying from Canada to see him, like, you know, West Coast Canada, everything to see him. He said, my first surgery, he said to my wife, this is one of the hardest ones I ever did. And he's done thousands.
Wow.
Because it had its own blood supply. It was supposed to take 2 hours. It took four.
Wow.
And and then I had to get the other side. I had to get taken out. That was like candy compared to the other one. But yeah, that was scary. That was legit scary crap. That was like nightmare scenario.
Yeah. No doubt.
But you know, the line, well, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's true. I really believe that's true.
It depends on the person.
Yeah. Well, if you
what
go
doesn't off, kill you makes you change. But that doesn't necessarily mean
I think if you mentally give up, you're done.
Yeah.
Done for. I think you're done for. I think there are people that you see people that recover. They're like, we thought there was no way this person's going to live.
Yeah.
But then if you give up and you mail it in, you're done. You're just done. I think, but like, you know, I've had people, you know, you hear people that try to get pregnant and they give up and then they get pregnant.
Yeah.
They relax and let life happen. So,
Yeah, well, you know,
we talked about everything, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, what are the problems that we have to solve here?
I know, let's do it, bring them on.
So I love that you've become a more patient person. How does that show up for you? Is it like with your son, with yourself?
My son, perfect baby, 8, didn't cry, all this stuff. And they're like, wait till he becomes a toddler. I'm like, sure, whatever. Woohoo! I try, but the thing is, even if I do get upset or angry or whatever, I try to realize that that's not the best way to deal with it. Do you know what I mean? And step back and just say, my wife said, like, one of my best friends goes, you know what? He acts up, you take a toy and you said, you got to throw it away. They lose their mind over that.
They do.
They're like, oh God,
world.
You're taking my toy. No.
Yes.
I won't listen to you, but if you take my toy, things change.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you go to bed earlier and you try not to yell and all that stuff.
At the smile on your face right now. For those who only have audio, you don't see this big, proud papa smile right now.
Oh, yeah. I love the
blush.
The only funny time is, Alexis, that and I've talked to many other parents. It's like the one place the children will not leave you alone is the bathroom. Like,
what?
Oh, yeah. How long are you going to be in there, Daddy? About 5 minutes, 10 minutes? I go, if I knew how long I was going to be in here, I'd probably win the lottery, too, because I would be able to, you know. You know what I mean? How long have you been there? And then he'd stick his fingers under the door. He'd be like, I go, dude. I go, bro, can you just let me go to the bathroom? Just leave me alone. Oh, come on, Dad. And then multiple parents say, oh, yeah, me too. Oh, yeah, kids just can't be alone. They need to know where you are at all times. he's a good kid. He's a lot like me. Very, very personable kid. Likes to hang out with people. Loves sports. He's going to. Let's write this down on, what is it, the 8th of April, 2019. Let's see where he's going to be. Hopefully being a time capsule somewhere, right?
I love that, yeah.
So he does, like I say, he doesn't really use technology, but he loves to draw. He loves to read. He loves to play sports. He loves to cook with my wife. I mean, he loves all this stuff, right?
Awesome.
And I'm like, he loves music too. So music, as we're both wearing rock shirts today.
Yeah.
The power, you know, the power of music is big for me. It got me through all those bad things when I went through my life. Everything. Layoffs, cancer, bullied, everything. That music got me through all of it.
Yep.
And I'm passing that down to my son, right? Now, you know, he's listening to Elvis and the Black Crowes. He's listening. He loves Elvis. I hear It's All Right, Mama. Like, I'm listening to Luke all the time. But just to pass that down, like, my parents listen to Motown. They listen to 8-tracks and they got, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
just down and down and down. And like even the right after I had my cancer treatment, I went to a metal show and Killswitch Engage, like really hardcore metal. But the thing is, that was like the way I just got all the bad energy out of me.
That's why I asked you if you played sports back in the day. Let me just throw that in there, because if you can get that energy out of your body.
Yeah.
I did it through thrashing. I was, you know, into industrial and goth and.
Oh, really? Okay.
Nine Inch Nails. And it, Nine Inch Nails was like, you know, in my back pocket all the time.
Yeah.
Because it allows you to personally, without, you know, kicking the cat or your roommates or whatever.
In a mosh pit. Yeah.
Yes. Get that out of your body. It matters. It makes a difference.
It's great. You know, my friend and I, we go to shows, you know. This is the one my mom and his mom, best friends, we grew up together and all this stuff. And, you know, lives happen. We don't see each other, but we always get together for shows. And we went to see Gary Clark Jr., amazing blues guitarist. And he's one of those guys that I go see him. I'm like, you just like, wow. It's just like, I'm up there bobbing, I'm dancing, I'm all weaving and all this stuff, jumping up around.
Yeah.
My buddy is too. And then we look at the crowd, we're like, just like 10 other people moving and no one else moving. I'm like, you don't think it's wrong, but people deal with it in their own ways. But that's my outlet. My wife doesn't get it. Like, if you're not a music fan, people just don't get it, because it's more than just sounds coming out of her iPhone or radio or something like that. It's spiritual. Ask the people who write the music and write the songs, you know?
Yes. I had a roommate who'd never been to a concert, and she didn't own a stereo. And I was like, you are a freak to me.
My God. Yeah. Who are you?
How does that happen? How do you?
I know, and I bought an acoustic guitar, and I went to one lesson. I can't afford going to lessons right now because of the situation, but I'd love to go back because I really enjoyed, like, that one lesson was like, just people showing you how to play. I get so much easier. Like, he's like, do this, do that. And they're like, oh, okay, I get it. Because when you try to do it yourself, it's a lot tougher, I guess.
All right. So you picked up an acoustic guitar for the hell of it?
I have one. It's downstairs. I just need to play it more. But the one lesson I took was really awesome. So I think I need to really get back to that at some point.
Because,
again, another outlet, right? So, again, bad energy, get an outlet. Like, if it's
true,
like doing what we're doing, right? Music, sports, traveling, hiking, working out, whatever. Find a outlet. That's it. I mean,
yeah. I had this fantasy, man, a long time ago. It's called the ARC. It's an acronym for the Anger Release Center.
I like it.
Yeah, it was a very popular chain. I franchised it in my head, and and it was a place where you could go and smash brick, you know, shine on brick, and you could, you know, vent. You could vent. Yeah. I just can't picture myself driving to the ARC, you know, to, you know, rage about bullshit. But it, the, you know, the analogy is still really important, and that
is,
we need a way to do that.
So, what do you? Is it music for you?
Yeah, it's dancing, and I will still go to a rave. I will still dance.
Good for you. Oh, I still like to dance too for a big white guy, but I do dance.
I love it.
Oh, I love it. Like, yeah, I like all kinds of music too. I like dance music, hip hop. I like country. I like metal, rock are my go-tos, but I like everything. Because I think if you only like one genre, there's something wrong with you. You know, I think you need to really, like life, you know, try it all. You know what I mean?
I do. And to me, it is a poo-poo platter. I mean, I used to think that the people who grew up...
I'm getting hungry now.
Huh?
I'm getting hungry now. I want Chinese food. You said
poo-poo platter. Yeah, I mean, there's so much variety out there. I call myself the adventure mentor, because if you looked at my life summary, you'd be like, what haven't you done? I don't do anything with blood. I can't do blood.
Yeah, no, also with that too.
But, you know, other than that, you know, as a kid, I was just like, you're supposed to find one thing and do that forever. And like, that's what people are being happy about.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can do that. I think there's too many things to try. Like, why would you do that?
I know. And the one, you know, one thing I got to do, and, you know, my dad and I are going to go, I think going to Europe. I've never been to Europe. Okay. So to do the World War II thing. Cause I'm a very pro history is probably my favorite subject. Oh. I minored it in college, almost majored in it, but I did marketing.
Wow.
Probably was basically way more lucrative than history. But what I learned from it is that if people realize, like, the real shit people went through, they would not be bitching as much as they did. Like,
especially
in this country, too. We have it so good.
Yeah.
It's so good in so many ways. Like, and just seeing other people not have it as good and, you know, and you just lose that sometimes. But, you know, read about history. Like, I went to some place right around here, which they have those, like, stone buildings from thousands of years ago. Nobody knows who made them. You know what I mean? Like, is it aliens? Is it, like, the Indians? No one knows.
Stonehenge.
Yeah, it's this is the American Stonehenge, no lie, in New Hampshire.
I never heard of it.
It's in New Hampshire. Look it up. American Stonehenge is New Hampshire.
No shit.
And I went there, and my son and wife went, you know, he liked because you could crawl and stuff, but I was really getting into it. Like, I'll go hiking if I see something that actually has some value to me. Well, I mean, trees and stuff are cool, but if it's history, I'm like, bring me there now.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to do a video on this, actually, on LinkedIn. It's talked about, like, so this guy came across all these structures that he had no idea who made. In the 1800s, the guy who ended up buying the land. And all this, and rather than embracing it, and try to figure out what it was and get scientists there. He sold the slate to a quarry, and they were taking the rock out. So they were destroying these structures, taking them out, drilling them and everything. I'm like, you've got to be kidding.
Wow.
I was talking to the president of the place, and then he, you know, that was also a station for the Underground Railroad. Like, it was amazing stuff, right? So, but just to hear that they took parts of the structure that no one knew how it was formed, and you were selling because you wanted to go make money so they could build bridges down the street, blows my friggin' mind. So it's my thing. It's like, why don't you learn about something or try to figure something out rather than trying to profit off it?
Yeah. Like,
what is good out of it? You know, let's learn about this long term, then profiteer off it in short term.
Yeah, and that's what you're going to love about Europe is, the sidewalks vibrate with history. I went to the Abbey, and, Stonehenge was supposed to be all moving and stuff, and it didn't move me. It's fine. I'm all about, like, I've seen crop circles. I've walked in them. I've seen, freaking UFOs. I mean, like, I've had a lot of exposure.
No, Alexis, one quick thing. So I got to tell you. So they had this big, huge, it's like their calendar, right, at this place I went to.
Yeah.
And the guy, he went on Google Earth, took a straight line, went due east, right through Stonehenge, right through one of the rocks. And I was like, oh!
What?
I know. So, but no, to your point about Europe, I know began.
Yeah. You know, there's so much history there, and they built things so well. The Abbey is the property where, allegedly, I wasn't there, but the story goes that that's Jesus' uncle's first church. And there's still some pews, and there's a couple walls. And I laid on the grass, and I never wanted to get up again. It felt so familiar. And what it turned out is that underneath that was some place where the nuns and stuff hid. Yeah, and psychics picked it up. My mom's a psychic and a medium, and so my exposure, to the metaphysical world is pretty big. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a psychic. They're like, yeah, you were a nun in a not too distant lifetime ago. And I was like, oh, so I found my house.
That's where I was. I was hanging out there.
Yeah, and really busted out this time, yo.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm not heavy into that stuff, but I'm pretty sure this isn't the first go around for a lot of us. So.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, the linear idea is really, a basic concept. But when you go over there and you feel it, you just feel the history. You feel it.
I know. I got to go to Normandy. That's my big thing. Normandy. Yeah. And I've read, big into history. Believe it or not, I'm big into, the German army too, about what they went through as soldiers. Like, and a lot of them just fought the war because they fight for Germany, not for that bad guy. Fight for their country, fight for their homes, So, and my son and I put together the World War II Lego kits together and stuff like that, which is cool. So that's a bomb my dad had. I have, and bring it to my son and hopefully down the line with his son. But, went to Gettysburg, my dad too, that's holy ground as we all know too. It's just, and big into musical history, like just history in general. Again, storytelling, right? Bring us full circle.
Yeah,
storytelling. Yeah. That's what it's all about. I mean, that's what we need to really get out of it, is to learn the learnings and not the buzzword.
Yes. So, if you had three clients come knocking on your door, your ideal, what would they look like? What would it be like? Is it a company size? Is it what they do? Is it?
I view people I work with not as customers, but partners, because I want to partner in their success. And I'm not saying that just to sound cliche and hokey.
No, I know you're not. I know you're a sincere man, and I'm sincerely throwing this out there so you can get another guitar lesson. So let's.
Yeah, I know. I want, I think the best customers know that they need help, right? Because especially with social, a lot of people, as I said, think it's a magic bullet. They think it's the voodoo and the pixie dust and everything else. Yeah. But if you understand that you need to build in this online world, you need to build communities that really trust in who you are and your corporation is, rather than a faceless conglomerate. Those days are far gone. Okay. People just don't buy for people like that anymore. They buy for people, buy local is big too now, because Bill down the country store, or Jill at the, at the hair salon, right? Cause those people. And now those relationships have becoming like that again. Right.
Right. Hey, Gary.
I know Alexis down in Tennessee, right? I know Quentin up in Milwaukee now. And I know Zach over in California. Like, now people in the virtual small town, right?
Yes.
And that's what it is. Like, what value you bring to your customers? How can we like solve the problems for them? How can we make lives easier for them? How can we entertain and make them laugh and enjoy life a little bit? You know, as well. And that's the mix you need to do. You can't just be like sales, because people are going to be like, I'm out. What are you going to do? You know, how, you know, everybody can see through people. They want content. I mean, I'm always going on Google, looking at restaurants and seeing how the reviews are. And if someone had a bad experience, how are you going in there to save the day for your customer? Because it's not just them you're saving. You're saving future business too, because if you don't respond, they're not going to, people aren't going to come because you don't care.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's the customer that one is willing to work with me. He's open-minded and knows that they have to change with the times, right? Too many people are just stuck in the times.
You have to take in more information. There's not a big enough word for me to describe the value of my friend, coach, mentor, Lynn, and the way that we bounce things off of each other. There's not a big enough word for it. Solopreneurs, we tend to just, you know, I mean,
Solopreneurs, there's all preneurs, Joepreneur, Alexapreneur.
Yeah. Well, you know, but you know, if you don't have somebody else that you can bounce stuff off of, you're limited.
Oh yeah. I use this platform as a soundboard all the time.
So being able to converse with somebody else and go an outside, like a neutral third party, the observers see more than the participants.
I guess it's far through the tree. So yeah,
they really do. And yeah, you can come in and maybe, you know, I don't picture you holding a camera, but I would, cause I like the video of what people are doing. Maybe,
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's part of it,
you know.
You know, you'll be looking for the good. You'll be looking for the nuggets and the things that they don't even realize that they're doing. Like, that's awesome. So
good point is the real estate industry. I'm a big Gary Vaynerchuk guy. So, you know, I just bought a house. So I just went through it. That a lot of real estate agents are not embracing social as much. And it's crazy to me because all you're doing is selling chapters to people's lives.
Yeah.
You are the ghostwriter to people's legacies. You really are. You think about it. You are. Right. And you should be telling those, you should be like the king or queen of Groton. Tell everybody why Groton, Massachusetts is the place to live. School systems, the history, you know, all that we have acres and acres and acres of conservation land here. I'm like abutted to it actually. Land. I'm like,
nice.
Yeah, really cool. That's why we moved here too. Right. So, but that's what real estate agents and so forth. You're not selling, you know, brick and wood and glass. You're selling memories. Kids are going to be born here. Marriages. You know, you're going to have pets. You're going to have parties and graduations. HGTV does a great part of this where they, you know, they brought the people to buy the house. I know it's Hollywood, but they brought the house and then they go back a month later and just see the dream come true. You know? I go, you hand over the keys to dreams. You really are, you know, especially
that. Yeah. And they're missing the angle on that.
I don't know. I just, you know, it isn't all about, again, it's not a transactional business anymore. It is about relationship business. Because more than likely, the person I got was referred by my mother. There you go. You know, and because they like, so it was a husband and wife team quickly. It was a husband and wife team. The wife really was talking to my wife, resonating with her, seeing what she liked, you know, what she didn't like.
Yeah.
The husband, ex-contractor, blue-collar guy, hockey fan, talked with me, winning me over.
Yeah, there it is.
You know what I mean? That's what it's about. And then they still, even though they sold us the house a year and a half ago, I'm friends with them on Facebook. I get a text message here and there. Hey, there's a new TV on sale if you want it. Like, those little things make you remember them. And that's why if you're a real estate agent, it's about the long tail, not the short tail.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes. In my promotional marketing company, I not only create cool taglines that represent the person and the brand, but little jingles along the way, memory thing.
Oh, yeah. Those are cool. I love doing it.
Yeah, little hooks because there's a stat on that one, and that the average person will sell their house within 7 years, and they won't remember who they got it from.
Really?
Shocking to me. How do you forget?
It's crazy.
How do you forget?
Well, you can't forget if they're still on your radar, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, what a great job. My job is to stay in touch with people, make them feel good because I do and I love them. And, I, you know, like that's not hard. You know, that just takes some intention to stay in touch with somebody on a level that they appreciate and can recognize.
Again, I think too many people are concentrating on the new customer rather than keeping the customers they had or repeat customers. You know, I just don't understand that at all. Again, like social media, you built that community out, you built that relationship, you're gonna just let it die on the vine. I don't get that. And that just shouldn't happen. You should leverage your customers, take in their feedback, take in their recommendations, and take in, like, again, it's a laboratory, it's a focus group. They're right there. And more than likely,
yes,
they're willing to help you shape your company because they like you and they want to work with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they are good, you know, good mindset people, if you say to them, is there something I could have done better or you would like to have seen more of, they're going to pitch in. They
constructive
will.
Criticism is the best.
Yeah.
Just do it, you know, nicely, you know, constructive. That's why they call it constructive.
not destructive.
If you think you're the best things to slice bread, you're never going to see the things that are going wrong, you know?
That's why it's so helpful to have a third person come in, third party, neutral third party. Yeah. That way you can let your hair down.
Totally and, agree. I have not enough hair to.
But there's freedom in that. And then, you know, then you can like really take a look at everything kind of objectively and go, oh, okay. All right. Now I see it from your perspective. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know I had that. I didn't even know I was doing that. Like, that's a value.
Right. I think that's why it's great, especially in, you know, companies that you have a good team because, you know, the feedbacks you get, everybody has to be an active participant.
Yeah. So I want to ask you something and I won't keep you any longer, but I could. I swear. I
could. I know. We are wrapping good. We got
it's
good chemistry.
Good. It's been really good. I want to ask you something, Joe. What would you do in this scenario? And if you want to, you know, decline, that's fine. I know. I have somebody who's, who's a podcaster and mm-hmm. If you saw somebody in your world who had something that didn't really shine that good that well on them and they didn't ask you, so bro, what do you think of that? You know, it's unsolicited if you gave them any insight at all.
Yeah,
see where it could hurt them,
right?
Because it's not their best day. What would you do? Do you say something or don't you?
Oh, if it's gonna bum them up personally. I think if you're friends enough that whatever this person says to you shouldn't hurt your feelings because they're saying it because they care about you.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's a bold move, isn't it?
Yeah. Tough love is, you know, it's hard sometimes to say how it is. Well, especially being in a marriage, don't bullshit. Don't sugarcoat. Let's get to the heart of the matter. Let's try to work it out. I mean, that's it. I mean, I learned a lot about cultures recently that, my wife is very Philippine. In the Philippines, she's very to the point. She says it how it is. She doesn't sugarcoat. She doesn't beat around the bush. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
And I found, like, even reading Mark Manson's book, The Subtle Art of Giving a Fuck. I don't know if you read that one, but that was
not cool. Yet. It's on the list.
You better get on the list. Yeah. He's talking about how he went to Russia and he was talking to people in Russia and they all, like, he got offended because they just told him how it was all the time. I think in our area in the United States and so forth.
Oh, you told me the truth.
Oh God, yes. This is the problem. And I'm learning more about my wife in the last probably year and a half than I did the prior, you know, 10 years we've been together, is that it is a cultural thing that we, as Americans, just get sensitive to so much shit, to get hurt by so much stuff and this, that, and the other thing, that you're missing the whole point of what you're trying to do. If you sugarcoat it bullshit, you're making it worse. You're making it worse down the line, okay?
Yeah, but then that person won't be mad at you.
They won't be mad at me. They'll come to my party. Yeah, no, F that. You know, I'm good.
Man. I think it's respect that you show somebody, you dare to put yourself out there, and it shouldn't be a dare. It should be expected of the people that are close to you. Yeah. But like you said, the first words out of your mouth were, how close is your friendship?
Well, and I told you that time when I wanted to check out at 16 years old, my friend said, I'll spin your grave. He didn't sugarcoat. You're right. He didn't sugarcoat. Nope. And that, you know what? And that was the biggest, biggest word said in my life to me. Wow. Besides you have cancer. That's probably the other ones. But yeah. But yeah, again, he could have been like, dude, you'll be okay. It'll be fine. And I wouldn't be here. Right.
So that's right.
And that's why we're good friends.
Yeah. I want to surround ourselves with people who we trust.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've been an amazingly good time.
Well, thank you. You too.
It's such a good time.
Because we're both wearing the, you know, Nirvana Led Zeppelin shirts. I think the rock, the music's just coming through us. So.
Yeah, man. You can do that, you know. Thank you for being on Bold Movers and Shakers. I really am looking forward to seeing what develops next. Because
me too. Thank you.
Yeah, your authenticity is spectacular.
That's right.
And what I know, Joe, is that when we bring that to the table, it's kind of like being the first person to dance on the, you know, open the dance floor.
Right, right.
Then it gives other people permission to be that way too. So yeah, in that regard, you really rock.
Yeah. Well, thank you. You do too. Double horns.
Right on, right on. And what is the best way for people to reach you?
Sure. Best place to reach me, you can check me out at valueinswer@gmail.com. You can check me out on Twitter at Joe Gill 88 on Twitter and valueinswer.net.
All right. So let's spell that word. It's a $10 word right now.
I know. God, it's copywritten, so it's mine. valuinswer.
Valueinswer. Okay. Yep. All right, guys, this is definitely the way to go, is providing value, being value first, and then sharing that with the rest of the world. Yeah. Joe can tell your story on social media. I can tell it, I can help you pull it out too. Between the two of us, we make a great team. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Pleasure here too.
All that stuff. Rock on with your bad self. You guys tune back in to Bold Movers and Shakers, where you never know who's going to be next, but you know they're going to be bold.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Make it a great day, y'all. See you next time. This is Alexis, over and out. And Joe Gill, you rock.